Most years on Halloween, it's fun to be a little scared, but this year we're grappling with some very real fears. Because the pandemic still rages, the Centers for Disease Control has categorized traditional trick-or-treating and crowded indoor costume parties as high-risk activities. And forget about bobbing for apples. Anything that brings us into contact with anyone not in our household comes with the increased risk of transmission of a potentially deadly disease. But that doesn't mean we need to skip Halloween this year. Adults and kids across the region are finding creative ways to embrace the holiday with a healthy dose of COVID caution. Joining us now is Jonathan Heisey-Grove. He's an at-home dad of two boys and the president of National At-Home Dad Network. Jonathan Heisey-Grove, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Before we get to your family's Halloween plans this year, can you tell us about the organization you lead? It's called the National At-Home Dad Network.
Yes, we are a nonprofit organization, a national one, as the name implies. We basically do advocacy, community, education, and support for at-home dads across the country. We have a good number of members who are the primary caregivers of their children. And so our organization helps to give them the tools that they need, give them support that they need. And also we try and advocate for each other and our roles as primary caregivers.
How did you decide to be an at-home dad, and how old are your kids?
So that's all right. I'll go with the kids first. My kids are 13 and 7, going on 8 in December. I've been an at-home dad for 8 years now, and the decision was not necessarily mine. I was released from my job, my last full-time job, and my primary focus when I left my job was to be a primary caregiver, essentially. The first thing that came to mind, my son was 4 at the time, and my oldest son. And we needed a way to take care of him and provide for him. And so my immediate response from being released from my job was to find ways to take care of him and be that primary caregiver.
Good for you. Let's hear about Halloween at your house. What does your family usually do, and how is it going to be different this year?
Well, usually we are like most families. We get costumes and dress up in whatever is currently tickling our fancy as far as characters are concerned and things like that. And because of the age difference, we tend to split. My wife will usually go with our younger son, and I will go with our older son. And they will sometimes will pair up with either family or neighbors and go walking around our neighborhood. And it's a pretty active and festive neighborhood where we live. So as a result of COVID and what we're going through now, our plans have definitely changed. We will be... This year, we are going to be doing a scavenger hunt, or a Halloween hunt, as we're sort of calling it here. So much like Easter egg hunt, we're just doing the candy with the kids. And because they've become so adept at finding eggs during Easter, we're going to have to make it a bit more of a challenge this year. So we're looking forward to really challenging their brains and trying to find the candy that they're going to be looking for.
Well, that's what you're looking forward to. Are your kids also looking forward to it? Are they not disappointed about having a different kind of Halloween?
They are not necessarily disappointed. They have adjusted pretty well. I mean, we are now 6 months into this. And so they've made the mental adjustment that things will have to change. And we've prepped them ahead of time that, you know, we're not going to be doing the same things that we normally do, especially around the holidays, just because we need to make sure that we isolate and we protect ourselves, let alone our friends and our family around us. So that adjustment has not been hard for them.
Joining us now is Angela Haupt, a D.C.-based freelance writer. Angela Haupt, thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. In a piece you wrote for DCS recently, you report that Halloween has not been canceled and introduce us to several families that have found creative ways to continue their traditions. Could you describe to us some of the ways people are adapting Halloween for the COVID era?
Yes, and that's exactly right. So even though Halloween will look different this year, there is no reason to start booing. So I found so many fun ways that local families are keeping that spooky spirit alive. So one of my favorites is a family who is going ghosting. And first, let me just clarify, ghosting has nothing to do with that ex who disappears into the night, never to be heard from again. Ghosting in this case is when you drop off candy and a note on somebody's doorstep, and then you pull a ding-dong ditch. So you get out of sight before you're discovered. And so this family that I spoke to has made it into this furtive mission. So they're dressing up in all black. Then they hit the streets in their D.C. neighborhood because, let me just say, they did start doing this at the very beginning of October. So they've made it kind of a month-long celebration. So they're very quiet. You know, they go creeping up to these houses and they drop off the candy. And the mother says that what they've learned is that they can typically hide somewhere nearby in earshot to listen to what they call their target come out in those confused wanderings. So they call these their Halloween missions. And right now, the kids are actually saying it is better than Halloween in the past, especially because they get to do it so many times, because they have turned it into, you know, a month-long celebration.
Very cool. How about the Capitol Hill family that plays a homemade Halloween bingo game?
Yes. So this is a mother in Capitol Hill who has always loved Halloween, but she loves it for the costume creativity, you know, not for the candy. So she made these amazing bingo cards. Now, they say things like, you know, you can, the squares say things like a house that's playing Halloween music, a punny tombstone, a group costume, you know, a costume that's made out of cardboard. So when they hit the streets on Halloween, the kids will have these bingo cards. And every single time that they see one of these things and they get to fill out a bingo square, they will get to pick a treat from a bag of candy that their mom packed. So that removes some of the fear around, you know, taking candy from other homes, you know, from trick-or-treating. So it's getting candy from their mom. But it does supply that periodic candy jolt, as their mom put it. And when they complete an entire row, they earn a bigger prize. They get to pick 5 pieces of candy. And, you know, this mother has uploaded these bingo cards onto a Google Drive. We link to them in my DCS story. You know, and every year she takes lots of hard copies and she takes a sign that says, ask me about my bingo cards. And so she'll be handing them out on the streets. And she definitely encourages other people to join her in this tradition of, you know, playing bingo on Halloween.
What about the Germantown family, which is counting on a balloon launcher to celebrate Halloween safely? What's that about?
No, I just love this. So this family, instead of going trick or treating, is doing what they call trick and treat. So they painted toilet paper tubes black, and they attached paper wings. So they reinvented them into these little bats, and then they stuffed them with candy. So when they go out, they are going to use a water balloon launcher to project the bats at their friends and family's doors. And so the thinking is that, you know, they project it, it's going to make a loud thump when it bangs against the front door. Hope is that that noise will prompt the residents to pop outside and discover the sugary surprise that is sitting on their doorstep.
That's amazing.
A very fun use for those water balloon launchers.
Genevieve from Kensington, Maryland emails, we'll be relying on our imaginations this Halloween. Our 8-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son will be trick-or-treating at every door inside and outside of our home. My husband and I will be rushing from one door to the next with treats. Well, Genevieve, great idea. Good luck with that. You and your husband will probably be tired. Here is Chris in Warrenton, Virginia. Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kojo. Thank you for having us. As Halloween is coming and winter is approaching, many of the wineries in Northern Virginia are allowing their facilities and, in our situation, old houses to be rented by the room, meaning you can have for free a room space for 4, 6, 8, 10 people in a kind of a private environment to enjoy local wines, to encourage the local farmers to have their products, as something as a semi-protected environment inside as well.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you very much for sharing that information with us. On now to Darcy in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Darcy, your turn.
Hi. Great to talk with you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm going to be getting together with some people at a parking lot at a pool. And we're going to park our cars, and it's going to be like a trunk and treat, except instead of having people come up to our trunks to get candy, we're going to have these weird creative, because this is a creative group of people. So we're going to have creative ways to not touch any, you know, not have a bowl of candy. Like, I'm pretty sure there's going to be at least one trebuchet. And my husband and my daughter built a sort of a, it's going to look like a robot, and it's or it looks like a robot, and what it's going to have a motion, it has a motion detector mechanism. So if you put your hand under the light, it'll just some candy, a mechanized arm will push the candy out in, down into a chute, and then you can catch it. So stuff like that.
I'm glad you brought that up, Darcy. Thank you very much for your call, because Angela Haupt, let's talk about candy chutes. What are they, and why are so many people making them?
Oh, yes. Well, this is a great development this year. Now, think about when you go through the drive-in at the bank and you get your money out, one of those automatic tubes. Candy chute is much the same, but it's for candy. So it is a tube that attaches to the front of someone's house so that the candy can be slid down to trick-or-treaters totally contact-free. So I spoke to one woman in the Brooklyn neighborhood, for example, who loves Halloween. She always has. And she typically gets more than 100 trick-or-treaters each year. And she said it just made her so sad to think that because of the pandemic, you know, she wouldn't be able to see those trick-or-treaters to give out candy. And she started thinking, you know, how can we still do this in a safe or socially distanced way? So she got some salvaged materials just for a couple of dollars. You know, it was recycled rain gutter parts, actually, to make this tube that stretches all the way from her porch down to the sidewalk. And now that's a total of about 15 feet, she said. And it's decorated. People are decorating these candy chutes as haunted forest pieces or cobras. You know, you can really get imaginative with it. And so on Halloween, she will be standing up on her porch, and she'll put little gift wrapped bags of candy. She'll send them down to the sidewalk where the trick-or-treaters can safely receive them. And these have become so popular that some communities are even making maps, you know, Google Maps, where a family can pull them up and see exactly which homes have the candy chutes that they can hit when they go out on Halloween.
Very cool. Joining us now is Quinchella Dent Hess, who is a member of Mocha Moms chapter in Loudoun County. Quinchella Dent Hess, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Before we hear about your family's Halloween plans, could you tell us about Mocha Moms for those who are not familiar with it?
Yes. Mocha Moms is a group that provides support for women of color as we journey through all phases of motherhood. We are very committed to community service and activism. Right now, we're encouraging everyone to get out and rock the boat. And there are other components of fun that we sprinkle in. We have a wellness club. I'm the lead of that. We have a book club, theater and arts club, just to name a few. But it's really a strong support system for moms of color.
Yeah, I was looking up and found that Mocha Moms was started in Prince George's County in 1997. And I remember talking to Jolene Ivy about Mocha Moms in maybe 1999. It's been around for a very long time. But Quinchella, how old are your children, and how does your family usually celebrate Halloween?
I have two babies. My daughter is 11 years old, and my son is 8. And in past years, we've dressed up and gone through our neighborhood to trick-or-treat. We know all the hot spots, all the houses that really go above and beyond. So that was our tradition, which is obviously going to be very different this year.
Yeah, why did you decide not to trick-or-treat this year, and what are you doing instead?
Well, instead of trick-or-treating outside this year, my daughter is actually going to have a Halloween sleepover with two of her really good girlfriends. They'll come in masks, of course. And we have filled pinatas with candy and other Halloween novelty items. We're going to hang those in the garage, so they're going to have a really good time with that. And my son will be a part of that as well. We are going to bake Halloween cookies, order pizza, make some spooky punch for the girls, and watch scary movies. We're going to wear costumes and even have a Halloween fashion show. And then around 8 or 9 o'clock, we're going to take my son upstairs and we'll hang out with him so the girls can kind of have their time together. But there are two reasons we're doing it differently this year. First, is due to COVID, of course. We want to make sure that we can keep our household as safe as possible. And the second reason is just due to the political climate right now. We don't want to expose our kids to anything hurtful that may be disguised as Halloween decorations. As you've seen, people are very bold and brazen right now with their actions this political season. And I just don't want to take my children out at night during Halloween. I don't want them to see any figures that may be hanging from trees or any disparaging messages about Black Lives Matter or anything else along those lines. I certainly don't want them to be mistakenly perceived as a threat in their Halloween costumes. Those are just things that I certainly have to consider as a mom of two Black children, especially with one being a little boy.
Okay, on now to the phones. Here's Pedro in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Pedro, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Kojo. Like your previous caller said, I myself decided that I will keep my children at home. And a few weeks ago, we had a birthday party, so we took on the idea of making a Halloween piñata. So I just went down to my local Hispanic store and bought a piñata, modified it, and that's how we're going to enjoy trick-or-treating versus going out with poor children, of course, only.
How do your children respond to that? Do they like the idea?
Yes, my about two of my children, one is ASD and the other one is a year and a half. So they're still very young. My two nieces, they're 8 and 11, and they thoroughly enjoy the idea of just modifying.
Thank you very much for your call. On to Ayize in Silver Spring, Maryland. Ayize, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Peace, Brother Kojo. Thanks for a good show, as usual. So we don't want to encourage our young folks to dress up as ghosts and goblins, demons and witches. We're going to have them dress up for, we're doing a great person historical ball. And so folks will dress up maybe as Angela Davis or Malcolm X. And we're doing it online. And if folk are interested, this is with our organization. It's mommiestlc.org. And, you know, again, we're going to give out prizes for best dressed and, you know, even a guess it game, historical guess it game, you know, one, you know, some folk put on their Afro wig and, you know, platforms.
Yeah, you got to get that. You know, you got to get that Angela Davis hair just right. If you're going to be correct. But that's a very interesting idea, Ayize, for children to think of historical figures, because it not only helps them to dress up, it also teaches them something. So great idea. Thank you very much for your call. Angela, how, like Quinchella Dent Hess's family, you've talked to others who are planning to stay at home for Halloween. Could you tell us about the family who made it into a month-long cinematic celebration?
Yes, absolutely. So a woman out in Ruston who has about 4 kids has turned it into a Halloween movie marathon. So every Saturday night in October, the family sits down in front of the TV, and they recently watched Ghostbusters, for example. And next up, they have movies like Little Shop of Horrors and E.T. and their very favorite, The Nightmare Before Christmas. But of course, part of the fun is that they are pairing the movies with really good food. So when they watched Ghostbusters, for example, they had marshmallows and popcorn and movie theater style boxes of candy. And my absolute favorite, which is edible slime. And so if this also sounds appealing to you, this mother tells me that Jell-O makes a great version where all you need to do is add some water and you've got your Halloween slime.
Good grief. We should talk about masks. Some parents might think Halloween is the perfect pandemic holiday because their children will be wearing costume masks that will cover their faces. You spoke to a pediatrician about this. What did she say?
Yes, she said a Halloween mask is not a COVID-friendly mask. So no matter what you do when you go out to celebrate, you must wear a cloth face covering to help prevent spread of this disease. So, you know, as much as it's fun to dress up in a Halloween mask, it doesn't replace that cloth mask that you still need to be wearing.
Here's Lauren in Washington, D.C. Lauren, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm with the National Confectioners Association. Happy Halloween. And we have plenty of safe and creative ways for people to celebrate the Halloween season this year. And America's chocolate and candy companies are taking the guesswork out of how to celebrate safely. We're so excited. You can go to alwaysatreat.com/Halloween to find some fun and safe creative ideas. I know we've heard so many already from so many of your callers.
And to find as much sugar as you've ever wanted in your life, huh?
Well, you know, Halloween this year will definitely be different and we'll all need to be socially distanced, but that doesn't mean we have to be socially awkward. I was reading a column in Forbes and the writer wrote something like, if 2020 is the weirdest year and Halloween is the weirdest Halloween, then that makes Halloween 2020 a Halloween like no other. And there's no question that Halloween will look different this year. But there are so many innovative approaches endorsed by the CDC, like outdoor one-way trick-or-treating is one option. We've heard of people making the candy shoots or even people trick-or-treating within their own backyard. There's still so many ways to bring a little bit of fun to this weekend.
Thank you very much for your call. Jonathan Heisegrove, for parents who are letting their children trick-or-treat this year or for those who are thinking about it for next year, how do you decide when your child is ready to go door-to-door without you?
That's a great question. It really depends on the conversations you have with your children and what you, the expectations that you set with them. If you are having a honest one-on-one conversation with them, and you tell them what the parameters are, like where you can go, who you can be with, and you set a time frame that they have to be back by, give them the tools that they need to do it, by all means, let your children out and go. But, you know, don't assume that your kids are free to go out on their own without some sort of parental encouragement and intervention in how they do it. Know who the friends are that they're going with. Have conversations with the parents of the kids that are going so everybody is on the same page as to who is going out and where are you going. And with any other thing in life, you just have to be honest with your children and make sure that they understand what your expectations are. And that way they can have a safe Halloween and we can as well.
Jonathan Heisegrove, Angela Haupt, and Shella Dent Hess, thank you all for joining us. This segment on Halloween in the Age of COVID was produced by Lauren Marco, and our conversation about polling was produced by Julie Deppenbrock. Coming up Friday on the Politics Hour, with just days from the election, we'll talk about all the ways to vote, as well as the recent protests following the death of Caron Hilton, who died in a scooter crash after an interaction with police. Plus, we sat down with Montgomery County Councilmember Hans Reimer to talk about a bill to offer tax incentives to developers who build housing on top of metro stations, and we'll get an update on COVID-19 in the county. It all starts tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening and stay safe. I'm Kojo Nani.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Julie Deppenbrock, Sydney Grannon, Kurt Gardner, Lauren Marco, Richard Cunningham, and Inez Renike. Our managing producer is Ingalisa Schroepstor. Our engineer is Mike Kidd. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.